The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 12th of December 2016. As everybody knows, we had Martin Janzik on yesterday, and that's what we were talking about. 2 weeks to Christmas. It's unbelievable. Couple things right off the bat. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and our 30-day ebook. Get you thinking, get you training, and get you going. Secondly, as everybody knows, we now are going to have a donation button up on Motivation Muscle. We're growing like crazy. We're going through a lot of transition, and this show is very expensive to produce every month, and we've got the best stuff out there. So anything you'd like to contribute to the show, we're going to be around for a long, long time. We'll be greatly appreciated. The donation button will be up today, but you can send in to my PayPal account at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Anything would be appreciated, and we are just going to keep rolling. Next, I'm going to read a little excerpt quickly out of Stones and Strength, which is a book I read every day. Steve Jack, Peter Martin, and if you went out and looked at any of the stuff we did today, we just did a huge show with Bill Crawford when they went over to Scotland about 2.5 months ago, and it was him, Martin, David Webster, Rogue Fitness filmed the whole event, and obviously Jan and Terry Todd, to name a few. And they went over to Scotland. They found just about every famous stone you could imagine and some, and filmed it. So we're just waiting. It should be coming out very shortly. But we had Steve Jack on the other day, and his show go up tomorrow. And he was the one who originated everybody getting back in, at least in the United States, with stone lifting. That's what made me go over to Iceland for the Húsafell in 2008. And he was on the other day, and he wrote, obviously, some stuff of Stones and Strength. And I'm going to just read one short passage, a line out of Sons of Sisyphus. And it says like this: "The struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart." Think about that, everybody. It's the struggle to get there. It's great to get there and win, but it's all the BS you got to deal with on the way. Well, today, this is a great, great day once again for Motivation Muscle. You know how I love introducing new people, and we've got a hell of an athlete on here. We've got Martins Lisek on with us today, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, he was first in the Ode Hagen All-American Strength Classic. If you follow World's Strongest Man, this guy came out of like nowhere to me. He was fifth in the 2016 World's Strongest Man. He is a Moss Wrestling. He competes in that. And he was just in two big major events. One in Bill Kazmaier's event in Texas. And he did a big event in Phoenix this past weekend. So this guy knows the meaning of work. And we're going to introduce him. That's what we do. And we hope Martin will like us that much and he'll come back. Martin, welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, Eric. I really love that part about the struggle being what fills you up. That definitely rings true with me.
Yes, sir, it does. And I'll tell you what, Steve Jack is the kind of guy you'd love living next door to, because he'd be out lifting stones or whatever you're doing with you. Some of these people here are just incredible. I mean, just incredible human beings, and they think about other people, and that's what we do here. But anything I missed on you, give it out. If you have any websites that we can go to and look at you, obviously, I know Facebook and all that. Why don't you give all that out, and we'll start the show, if you would, please.
Well, if you'd like to check out our gym, the Training Hall, if you go to thetraininghall.info, you'll be able to see where we're at, what we're about. We just opened up the location with mainly Ode Hagen. running the place in the Ventura Valley. That's just slightly north of Los Angeles.
Yep.
It's an awesome place, all strongman stuff, and we're serious about strength sports.
I was watching the Power Rack. You do mostly here. All we do is dead stop training. You know, no rebound. Obviously, a deadlift's going to be a little different, but you can still pull it off rods. And we've been doing an awful lot of unique stuff here in my house. I have everything in a one car garage, and everything else is on a 95 foot driveway. So when you walk up to about the last third of the driveway, you'd be wondering what the hell's going on. If it's not littered with homemade stones, big tires everywhere, chains everywhere, you wouldn't know where the hell you were. So I love all that stuff. It's just killer. But here's the thing, you know, when we're going to introduce this gentleman. And, Martin, I ask everybody this, and I said this to you a little bit offline. You know, we all got into training for one reason or another. And the two things that got me into it is I had a brother, Jimmy, who were everything is dedicated here to, who had muscular dystrophy, and he was wheelchair-bound his whole life, and we lost him very young. And secondly, the Incredible Hulk was my hero, too, because I could never understand initially. I was like, how does he get so big and strong? And then you start seeing all the metamorphosis with the gamma and all that. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be really great to weigh like 1,400 pounds and be 14 feet in the air? I mean, so that was the stuff that right? I mean, that's the stuff that got me motivated. But I'm not gonna step on you right here. But I have an idea a little bit of where you're coming from, and we'll get into that. But what was your main influence? Why did you want to become strong?
Well, it all started off with when I was a kid, around 9 years old, 10 years old. I loved playing video games on the couch and just spending all my time indoors. It was getting out of shape and chubby. And my dad at the time, Kristaps, he said, okay, I've had enough of this. And he basically just pulled me into the gym. And I just, first I just downright hated it.
Yep.
But he kind of pushed me on for like just said, okay, if you do it for a year and you still don't like it, then you could stop.
Yep.
So then I said, okay. And I started lifting with him. And after a year, I just grew addicted. Then by the time I was like 15, I was already stronger than everybody in my school, stronger than all the adults. Started training teachers, the sports, high school sports teams. And I would go back to my farm in Latvia during the summers sometimes.
Yep.
And would work with my grandfather there, was a stonemason as well as a farmer. And he had these big mounds of stones and rocks of all shapes and sizes. And he would have me move them for him. And he showed me how to lift these rocks. And I would do other farm work there as well.
Yep.
And then I saw on TV, these guys basically competed doing what I did on the farm for work.
Yep.
And I thought, shoot, I could do that. So that's where my inspiration came to be a strongman.
That's awesome because I love all that stuff with stone. I wonder in another life if I was a stone guy or I was a guy that used to just love to bend iron, you know, beating anvils.
Oh, absolutely.
I love all that stuff, man. You'd like it here. I'm in upstate New York, and right now it's getting pretty cold. And we train outdoors all year round. We have a light heater going on inside, but I've told the stories where – you know, I've had bars stick to my throat when I front squat and go to racket, you know, so all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then, hey, here's what I did one time, because before I went to Iceland in 2008, I was reading all this Viking stuff, and I was talking to different guys who were either going or been there, and they said, you know, the Vikings, man, they would train without a shirt on. And I was like, so I get this stupid idea, I guess, one day, and it's probably zero out in the backyard. So I have certain stones that I can still get off the ground that don't freeze to it. And I took my shirt off because I've been used to training out there like that for years. Well, you know, you don't realize, you think because it's cold out, nothing's going to happen. Well, you don't realize your body perspires. And the stone stuck to my pecs, man.
Oh, geez.
And there was no one out there, and there's no damn way I can walk up five stairs with the stone and try to take hot water. So I had to be a man, dude. I had to tear the thing off, and I still got like scars on the inside of my pecs from that. But you know what? That's all. Look, you know, out on a farm, moving millstones, whatever you're messing with, all kinds of different stones. I mean, look, Bill Crawford and I, we got our biceps blown in 2008 in Iceland, man. And the Icelanders were all saying to us, you know, and I wish I could do their accent because it was so damn awesome. They're like, you have a permanent scar now on your arm forever. You know what I mean? It's like that. And if, and when I'm sitting there in the hospital, I'm like, is like, shut up. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not even thinking like that. I want to get my arm fixed, you know? But you know what it is? It's just, it's a lot. Look, that strength has been so good to me and I love it. And that's going to be the next question. Okay, now you're 15 years old. I mean, you're burying people, obviously, that are much older than you. Obviously, now you got the bug. And I had read, obviously, you know, when the wall fell, when everything went wild with Russia, you guys got out of town and you got over here in the United States. You come to the United States, new country, whole new landscape. What are you doing now? Obviously, you got to get acclimated to everything here. Where are you going now with your strength from there at that point?
Oh, man. So I grew up most of my life in Massachusetts.
Oh, jeez. I wish you were still there.
So let's say I was 15.
Yep.
And after having seen Strongman on TV, I thought, okay, I definitely am going to do that somehow.
Yeah.
Sometime in my life, I'm going to find somebody to work. It was just, the sport was so small back then.
Yep.
I had no idea where to go or who to meet.
Yep.
But one thing happened in my life where I was just getting sick of the cold winters in Massachusetts because getting a stone stuck to my chest wasn't quite as appealing.
No, right, you're right.
So I just one day with one of my best friends, I was sitting in a restaurant. I was just 20 years old.
Yep.
The biggest thought on my mind was I just gotta some point get out of Massachusetts. I love the idea of, you know, how Arnold Schwarzenegger grew up,
yep.
You know, came to his strength in California. And my best friend at the time happened just to say, hey man, I'm totally done with this place. In 2 weeks, I'm just going to pack up my things and just drive out to California and move there.
Yep.
I was like, dude, you're crazy. You don't know anybody out there. You have no money. You have no job planned out. And he said, you know what, I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going for it. And I said, shoot, well then, whatever, I'll just go with you.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, they said the same thing. I'm crazy, I don't have money, I don't have a plan. But I just, at that point, I just didn't care. I wanted to see palm trees.
Yep.
So yep. 2 weeks later, we packed my friend's that little Eclipse with so much stuff that we can't see out of the rear view window, and my knees are up to my chest because everything's so tightly packed, and then we gun it across country.
Yep.
Ended up in Inglewood in the ghetto.
Yep.
I was working for maintenance there. Eventually became a personal trainer, and then at that point, about a year into my life in California, I said, oh, okay, now I'm ready. I got to figure out a man thing because that is such a dream of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I found the number. I just searched online. I found the closest competition was the LA Fitness Expo, the
yep.
one that you were just saying I won.
Yep.
So I got the number from that, and I call it, and this Norwegian guy picks up.
Yep, I know that well.
And I basically just say I want to compete. And he asked me how strong I am. Tell him my strength. And he's like, okay, yeah, you're pretty strong, but yep. you're not quite strong enough for this. I said, well, honestly, the biggest reason I want to go is because I want to meet these guys and find network and find somebody that I could train with so I can be strong enough. He said, well, okay, just come over to my garage and we'll train.
Yeah.
And I said, cool, all right. So I show up at this guy's garage, and it turns out to be Odd Haugen.
Yep.
This idol of mine I've been watching on TV, and I was just starstruck. And then I trained with him. And every year, I ask him, hey, I want to compete in LA Fitness Expo. He just says no. And the next year, no. The next year, no. And finally, 2015 comes around.
Yep.
After 4 years of training with him, he finally gives me the thumbs up. And that's when I first compete in the LA Fitness Expo, and I win it. Get my pro card,
yep.
Get invited to Iceland, compete in Iceland,
yep.
Get third right next to Mark Felix and
yep.
Hafþór Björnsson. And that's when I got my invite to World's Strongest Man. And everything's been blowing up since then.
And that's an awesome thing. But you know something? He probably did you a favor. He built the old base, as they call it. You know, he was smart where he didn't let you. He kind of sat you down a little bit and kept going and going and going. You build and build and look at where you are now. I mean, obviously that base is going to carry you quite far in life. There's something that's been on my mind before I even knew that you were going to come on here too. Because we've had a ton of different competitors in all different levels of strength sports here. Now you've won obviously Ode's event in 2015. Obviously now you're moving along, and now you get the invitation for WSM. When you know you were talking, you were a little starstruck with Ode, obviously, and who wouldn't be? I mean, you talk about an accomplished individual, but now you're walking on the turf with guys like Brian Shaw, obviously Hafþór. You've been around, you competed against them, but you're going now in a whole array of people that you've probably watched on TV, like myself. I want to get into the training and all that too. But I'm very interested. What is the mindset when you walk on there? Are you just one of these guys that is just so pit bull tenacity driven that you know they're there, but they're not getting in your head and you don't care? How did you approach that when you walked in there for the first time?
It's just like any competition. I love being surrounded by people bigger and stronger than me.
It
fuels me. It makes me want to show them that they can be beaten.
Yep.
Yeah, that gives me the energy.
Yeah.
So walk onto the World's Strongest Man stage, it was just, well, at that point I had trained so long, you know, for 6 years as a strongman.
Yep.
And I knew I had the strength to do just as well or even better than a lot of them.
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt. It's really interesting to hear you say that too, because a lot of people have a hard time saying that they want to be around others that are bigger, you know, better. However, you're going to clarify that, because I know just in business, most people get nowhere if you don't surround yourself with either people as good or better, because you need something to grab onto to make yourself better. But that's very interesting you said that, because I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say that like that. But okay, 6 years to get to WSM. You're there for the first time, obviously, 2016 this year. I didn't even look at all the events. What was the first event you got into?
The first event that I did was the medley.
Okay.
And that's one of my absolute best events.
Okay.
As well, so I knew I'd get a good start there, but I cannot tell you enough. My nerves weren't in terms of how well I could perform.
Yeah.
I knew that I could win that event.
Yep.
I was more afraid of, okay, what if I trip over a pebble?
So
my strategy wasn't necessarily to go as fast and hard as possible. It was just make sure every single run was smooth.
Yep.
And done without any mistakes.
Exactly.
I did just that.
Exactly. You've watched a lot of old World's Strongest Man, and I mean, you don't have to, you can comment or not on this. I'll tell you, I watched some of the old ones. They, you know, after they took them off ESPN and put them on CBS, I can catch them sometimes, like at 10 o'clock at night here, midnight here, if I'm up and about on, you know, Eastern Standard Time. And I watched the whole series when Magnus V won it through the 90s. And I'll tell you, man, you never really would know they're the same events now. In some ways, I like the newer stuff better, but in other ways, I kind of like the older style, too, better, you know? It's very interesting how it's evolved when you look at the real old stuff, even before Kazmaier's time, you know, because we were talking about that the other day with, you know, Terry Todd was very instrumental in bringing World's Strongest Man in, you know, initially. But I used to love when they had, like, those superstars, they called it. You know, you had guys from all different genres of training, you know, whether they were bending iron over their head, you know, blowing hot water bottles up, you know, carrying refrigerators on their back. I'll be honest with you. I like the stuff you guys do, but I'd love to kind of see that stuff again, man. What's your feeling on that?
Oh, man, I think about that quite a lot.
Yeah.
One thing about – it's both good and bad where it's going, right? Because
yeah.
In one way, the more equipment, more of the events in Strongman are becoming standardized,
yep.
Which makes the sport much more accessible, relatable, and just easier to measure who really is stronger at these events.
Yeah.
However, it's definitely losing some of that variety and just interest. All these different interesting events that we haven't been like. One of my favorite, I think, is the most badass is the car flip.
Oh yeah.
That one's gotta come back.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, when people think about strongmen and they see that.
Yep.
I'm sure that just the sight of that will remain with whoever spectates that for, you know, for their whole life.
Hell yeah. I mean, I always think back to, like, Mark Filippi. I mean, even though he blew his knee out on it, but, man, that guy was great. I used to love that. They'd start that thing in the sand and go berserk with it, man. You know what else I'd love to see? I mean, you do it when you compete, obviously, in Iceland when you're doing the events there. I would love to see, and I'm sure this comes down to insurance and every other thing now. I would love to see you guys do some events out in the snow, man. I mean it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. I mean, we do that here, and it happens a lot of times by accident. You know, when we're carrying big stones at night, we don't care if it's got a foot of snow on the ground or 2 inches. You got to dress for it, and anybody knows, walk through snow with something heavy that's up to the middle of your shins. It feels like you feel like you got somebody behind you pulling you back all the time. That's the kind of stuff that I'd love to see, and I'll tell you why. Being where you came from, you know, working on your grandfather's farm, doing those kinds of chores, man, that create such manliness. And I think there's so much today to being a laborer, which carries over to strongman. I've seen guys, dude, that used to, they'd run jackhammers, dig stone and gravel all day. These guys had, like, ham hands and wrists and forearms. I'll tell you what. These guys were just plain flat out strong. We're not talking about going in a gym and using a balanced bar, which still the barbell is an incredible piece, but these guys were out in the thick of it no matter what they were. And
yeah.
I'll shift it right back to you, but you know what was really interesting, and I've noticed it's happened to me a lot. Bill Crawford, when he was talking about the time before they went back to Iceland, and they would train, obviously, in any condition because he's in New Hampshire. And what he found with the stones, especially as they got heavier and it got colder out, he said his skin got thicker, his beard got fuller, and there was just a whole different dynamic to him mentally. And that's the next question. Obviously, I can tell by the way you talk, too, mentally, man, you've got it down. But when you go into a big event, you know, you walk in there, and you, let's face it. I mean, you can use any type of thing, whether you want to visualize for months before you go there, whatever. What do you feel when you're in that type of event? And a lot of people handle things differently. Some people have a hard time dealing with it. They get on the field, they simmer down, and they go. Others, let's face it, we know they choke out. How do you, Martin, when you walk out there, obviously you've established it, how do you deal with things mentally when you know you're getting ready to go into something big?
Oh, man. Back when I first started, the nerves would just – I could feel them crawling up all the way up into my neck, and I just felt like they were boiling over.
Yep.
At this point, I've just meditated a lot.
Yep.
And that helps so much. Before a competition, before an event, between events, I'll just find a corner where it's a little bit more quiet and secluded. I'll lay on my back, put my legs up on a chair so I could feel the blood of my body just rushing through my head.
Yep.
And I would just clear my mind and just breathe, and I would visualize the event, but try to visualize it in a way where I don't feel my adrenaline going up because
yep.
I want to save it.
Yep. Yep.
So I just calm down, breathe slow, just completely hold my own energy and not give it outwards.
Yeah.
And then when the event comes, then I allow that nervous energy to come back because I think those nerves, that adrenaline, that nervousness is
yeah.
very powerful.
Very.
So I just want to be able to use it when I need it.
Well, you know, that's interesting when you said that nervous energy. I mean, how many people have you read articles about a car fell on somebody and a woman 105 pounds comes out and lifts the thing right off that person? I mean, don't let any – that's why I tell people, don't ever underestimate how strong you really are. Now, those kinds of things we know we can't keep turning on and off consistently because it'll take your central nervous system and flush it, basically.
It's true. But, it's very true. Everybody's a lot stronger than they realize they are. There's legitimately mechanisms in our muscle cells called Golgi tendon organs that act like overactive soccer moms and basically just hold us back from using our strength so we don't hurt ourselves.
Yep, I agree. Where do you – you know – I want to talk about basically, boy, I got a million things I could ask you. We always hear about, you know, the squat, deadlift, overhead, or the bench, whatever you want to do. What do you like for your base lifts? And then let's go into some of the strongman lifts that you really like, maybe others that you need to work harder on. But let's just start off with the basics. What is your feeling, basics, especially when we got younger kids that, you know, obviously you know WSM's trying to reach out all over the place now. So we got a younger kid that's coming up, another Martine, 11 years old. He sees you out on the field kicking ass, and you're talking this, that, and the other thing about training. What would you tell somebody, and what do you like to do as far as your base movements?
I think it really just comes down to mastering squat.
Yep.
Squats, and in the very beginning, body weight motions. I've built such a strong base of strength from calisthenics.
Really?
I would do push-ups, pull-ups. Even at my weight now, I could do muscle-ups.
Wow.
Because I believe that you could learn so much of control over your body and explosiveness from just calisthenic motions. So between even contests, I will go back to the roots of just doing push-ups, pull-ups, jumps, plyometrics. And I think that allows me to also build up more tendon strength, awareness, coordination. And then when I take that into weightlifting or just training with weights in general, I have so much more of my body that I have access to.
Yep. So I take it, is obviously I saw some of the deadlifting you were doing the past 2 weeks. Do you got a favorite out of them? I mean, it's always the argument, squat, deadlift.
Squat.
Me
because
too.
I believe that if I could combine a squat and an RDL, that basically those two motions together create a deadlift.
Okay.
So during the year, I actually don't train deadlift all that often. I'll try to do it like once every 2 weeks or once a month, unless it's coming up in a competition.
Okay.
Then I'll train it for like a solid month.
Okay.
But the majority of the year, it's squats. I believe squats are much more functional, have much more carryover to many more things.
Wow, that's interesting. So you would do a combo of that in the Romanian and you'd be all set.
Yep, because those two will work the same muscles. Basically, if you think about it, a deadlift on the bottom is a squat.
Yep.
And then an RDL.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, that's interesting you say that because Mark Wechner, who was over here and went over and lifted the Husafel, I think probably about, I'd say about maybe 5 years ago. And one of the things that he quoted on that he felt was the common denominator that sent him over the top with that stone was Romanian deadlifts, which I thought was really interesting when you said that. He said, believe me, because he propelled around that sheep pen pretty damn easy, I thought, and it was interesting, just like you said. I love honesty out of people. I don't care how strong you are. And he said, believe me, that stone was not light. He goes, I was holding on to that with all my might, but he said he felt that the Romanians is what carried him through that big accomplishment he did. That's really interesting you said that. I've never thought of it like that because, you know, it's with everybody, it's always one or the other. You know, oh, deadlifts are better. It's like, maybe they're better suited for your anatomy, but that doesn't mean it's a better. And I'm with you. I love the squat. I love squat. And I think there's nothing to me. Look, I've gotten arguments with people. They'll be like, I always say, I love something on my shoulders, on my spine. Well, you're pulling something off the ground. It's the same thing. I'm like, no, it's not. But that's for another day. Here's something, too. Now we're in events. What events do you favor? I mean, we know you're better in some, like everybody in others. But what's some of your favorite strongman events?
I believe it always comes down to Stone. Stone, downright. There's nothing like them that hits as many muscles as a Stone lift does.
Yep.
You cannot have one weakness in a Stone. It's all of your legs are involved, all of your back, your shoulders, your biceps, even your triceps at a point where you might push the Stone over a bar or a box. There's nothing that's not included. Even your chest and core. I mean, I think it's the perfect and ultimate lift.
I agree totally with you because I think that, you know, one thing I'm very proud of with the show is we've created a lot of Stone lifters out there now. They've listened. They know we're all doing it. And now they're not being timid about it and going after it. I don't think there's anything better you could do. And I'll tell you one thing. I got a lot of younger athletes that train here. I start them right out on strongman stuff before we even get into anything else. And all I do is use a sandbag.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it could be anything from step-ups just on cinder blocks to, you know, clean, bear hug, carry. I like running one with them, too, where they'll straddle the sandbag between their legs and go from left shoulder, put it down, right shoulder, put it down. I mean, that usually put them on their knees. Now, I do that with them mainly to really get them in shape. And then I do one that I put out with the ebook we did. I love doing this because I do this to ready myself for Stones a lot of times. I with a 90-foot driveway down and back, it really affords me a lot of liberty to do stuff because I can spread it out. You know, I'll take multiple sandbags, spread them out in different stations, take a light one, run down, grab a heavy, run down for, say, 25, 30 feet. Next thing you know, drop that, grab a light one, do a big loop, come halfway up, go and grab another one. You know, you want to get in condition quick, and you want to get in good shape. That will light you on fire. So I think the value of a sandbag, because let's face it, most people don't have the money to go out and have a steel Husafellstone built. We've got four of them here. I designed four different types of them. We've got those here. And we've got natural stones. And like I said, you know, we've got the molds and we built all those. And we built a couple cement Husafellstones too. But I think sandbag is very inexpensive. It's very safe too. And you can really become quite an athlete just starting with that. And then, you know, I do like you're talking about. Then I'll bring them in the rack and we'll start right on the squat. So, you know, you build the frame, you build the foundation, and you're all set. Well, obviously, we know you like that. We know you love Stones. Where do you see is? Do you think World's Strongest Man? I mean, has that they haven't hit their high note yet? In your opinion, do you think where do you see? Is it going to become more? I hate this word. Do you think they're going to keep trying to mainstream it? Obviously, they got to make money and pay you guys too. Where do you think it's going to go? Say in the next 5 years, in your opinion?
Well, I know you hate that word mainstream, but I have such a love for strongman in the sense that I think it's the most truest practice of strength. I mean, you're just trying to build up your body and abilities to the point where you could see an object, understand the leverage, and then pick it up in whichever way works. So I love the idea that strongman would become mainstream.
Okay.
I think more people should do strongman for general fitness. It can accomplish many goals. It could help bodybuilders. It can help weight. I even believe it can help such specialized sports such as weightlifting.
Yep.
And, of course, it transfers to football, to even baseball, to...
Did I lose you?
Hey, are you there?
Yeah.
I accidentally muted you. Okay.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Where was I? What did you hear?
We got to the point where we're talking mainstream, and we got into, you know, baseball players, football players. I got a basketball player doing it, so
absolutely. Now, I was even saying that even it could be even done for track and field athletes. You could do a yoke on your just on your toes to create stronger ankles and calves.
Yep. No, I agree totally.
I just think it has such a great implication for so many different sports, and I would love to see strongman equipment in more and more gyms.
Oh, without a doubt. I'll tell you one other thing, too, is I even did that, a very lower key of it. I did that with a 70-year-old guy I trained here. He couldn't even, he had no strength in his hands. He couldn't even take, you know, turn the top of a pickle jar. I went, and not only did I train him with some very light sandbags, but what I did is I put him on an old school grip machine I have here. And
nice.
And within like 3 months, man, he was ripping the tops off.
I love that.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. And we're doing right now here, I've been messing around with this program. We did a show with John Bruni, and I do a thing in the power rack if I want to get myself, depending on whatever the lift is, super strong, but it takes you a while to do it. I do a program that I built called Top Down, and basically we'll have a goal weight that we want to hit from dead stop at parallel, but we start the big weight, obviously, after we're really warmed up at the top and start coming down, whether it's putting quarter-inch plywood under your feet, eighth-inch, or if we can go to the two-inch hole below and start there. It's very interesting. Well, I came up with a way to do it with people that are going to want to lose weight, and that gentleman I've got here that we've got to lose 60 pounds, that's one of the programs we started yesterday. And basically, we're not looking for super heavy weight with them. What we're looking to do is we're going to flush the fat right out of them. And by doing that, I'm using isometric holds. So I'm going from one rod to the next, holding it for time, and we're going to keep adding a little weight and do this. Because what I'm going to try to do is twofold. Not only am I going to get rid of all that unwanted fat, we're going to build some muscle. And I know it's going to take time, and I know we're probably talking a year from now for where I want them to be and muscular. But the use of the rack, and we're doing sandbag work, obviously. I have one day with a trap bar because I can't put too much on here. So we talked head to toe. The trap bar is going to take them head to toe. So we got the squat and the deadlift all in one. We'll go fine with that. He hasn't know yet, but I'm going to have to add a third day to him. There's no doubt about it. And when you said stones, the light went right off in my head. That's what he doesn't know this yet, but he's going to know because he's going to listen to this show. And we're going to have him carrying like a madman. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude. And once he gets that down, I'm going to have him. I would like to have him 210, 215, and I mean, you won't even know his body when you see him. So, you know, this is you got it right on the mark. The strongman stuff. When Martin Janzicks was on here yesterday, that's what he was talking about with carrying. He feels that carrying, because he's got me flipping tires again. After I tore my bicep, I had stopped it. It bothered it for some reason, but he was saying to me, he'll take a 500-pound tire and bring it out in the fields of Scotland, regardless if it's dark out or not. And this is what I love about him. He'll have his car lights on. He'll be out flipping it for 2 hours. He'll go to his car, and his car will be dead. The battery died, right? So he got me fired up with the tire again. And when we get Dennis to that third day, he's going to flip tires, and he's going to carry stones. And that ought to finish the whole project the way I want to do it, and get him at a very healthy weight and not have to worry about diabetes and heart and this and that. And it's very interesting because, you know, with all the people you deal with, it's very interesting to see somebody come in there that's in really bad shape. They finally realize it, and they really want to go after it, but they don't know how. And they come to somebody you hope that's going to be very good and be able to take them on that journey. And then, like we were talking about of stones and strength when Steve wrote that little line, you know, it's great to go out and win. I started an article on this. I think winning is kind of the missing link to a lot of things with all of us, especially when you go out and, you know, if you love social media, it's constantly, and you probably hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. I talk to the guys on here. How do you get big? I'm like, what? What do you mean, how do you get big? Squat, deadlift, press. Well, it doesn't work, okay? So, you know what I mean? Everybody's always looking for the golden key, but the golden key is you. It's like, how much are you going to put into it? And that's why I can't wait to see this guy. His name's Dennis. I can't wait to see him a year from now, because I said, make sure you got pictures, because no one's going to believe how you're going to look. I know we've got some time, a little bit of time left. I'd love to have you come back on, and I'd love to talk to you really heavily about all the mental, you know, thinking and how we do things, and we scratched that a little bit with you. But I'm sure you see this, and on this show, we really hammer it hard. What is it? What do you think's happened with a lot of men? Let's just take men in particular. Why have so many turned into, you know, and it's not everybody, but why have so many men seem to take a back role in life and very defeatist acting? And I know a lot of guys that used to be just cock strong, and now I talk to them, and they don't seem to really know what the hell ends up anymore. You know, they just don't seem like they can make decisions. And what you've seen, especially in the United States, and as of late with a lot of things, what are men suffering from, you think?
Oh man, what a deep question. I suppose I'm lucky because I really don't know the exact answer to this, but I can tell you what's helped me is It really just comes down to that because I fell in love with lifting and working out and strength at such a young age, I feel that the lessons I've learned from this journey, I can apply to anything.
Yep.
And that lesson being that I think people get stuck on the idea of hard work being the pinnacle of everything. Hard work is important. But much more important than hard work is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That you continuously show up, that you continuously improve yourself. Not just show up, but show up with just the idea of improving yourself in whichever way possible that very day.
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
I've always noticed that when I go into the gym, I hit a PR every day. No matter what it is, it could be weight, sure. It could be reps, sure. But if I'm feeling not so well that day, it might just be a PR in form. I might just make sure I do something and it was better quality than I've ever done it before.
Yep.
Or do something silly like hold a plank longer than I've ever held it before. But something. I always find something to improve. And that consistency has gotten me where I am now. Because not every single day I go into the gym is hard work. It's not always just like, I'm not always hitting myself to the very limit of my body. I do that a lot, but not always. And like I said, it's just always showing up, constantly showing up.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you and I both know you can't just hammer yourself every day. And you know what's going to end up happening eventually. But, you know, A thing that I notice, one thing I've noticed, especially in the outside world, and you listen to a lot of people, because I'm sure you've heard it before, you know, it's like, why do you want to go do that? You know, why do you want to go back there? You had an injury, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or, you know, you'll hear, and I hear parents say it to kids. I'm around, you know, my nieces and nephews, and there'll be different people over there, and it'll always be like, you know, it's such a struggle, it seems like, for them, or you know, don't do that, or, you know, there's no reason to do that just because, you know, and things like that. And the excuse counter now to me is huge. And it's not healthy for a kid to constantly be reminded, okay, you did this and you failed at it. Because I say to my nieces and nephews now, failure is just a learning experience that's going to lead you to the biggest success of your life. I used to be very, I used to hate to say that word, failure. Now I say it all the time because I got to tell you, I fail like crazy every day, whether it's in the business, whether it's in my life, whether it's in training. Now, I'm not saying that this place is a failure anthem, but how do you think you're going to get better if you don't fail? If you and I go into the gym every day and we hit PRs every day or whatever we're doing, and you can choose and take and do your PRs any way you want. I understand that, but I'm talking, you know, we're going in every day and, you know, setting records in a yoke or a stone or whatever. What would be the point of going back? I mean, it's that easy, we mastered it. But when we go in there, and there's days I've had where I felt great. I'd go in there and I'd totally bomb out. I mean, I wouldn't get anywhere near what I wanted to. I'd get pissed as hell. Then I'd have days where I'm working like 13-hour days. I'd go out and lift at the most unopportune time, and I'd go out and blow the roof right off the gym. I can't understand that, and I know there will be a million things people tell you why it did happen. But the greatest thing is, and I say this to myself and other people all the time, don't let one day does not judge the rest of your life. And you've got to learn, right? And you've got to learn to, you know, I was very lucky. Grew up in a great home, had great parents. I mean, you know, with Jimmy, the family was even knit tighter because of the muscular dystrophy and stuff. And every day I'm thankful for that. But I'll tell you what the real teacher was after my parents. It was the gym. It was weightlifting because of the passion and love I've always had for it, for the ups and downs, the injuries, the new people I've met. The reason why I'm here doing this is because I owe it all to weightlifting. And I try to tell people, you know, you hit it right on the anvil when you said before, we're going, you know, WSM, you'd like to see it go mainstream because you know the importance of how many people it could help. That's the same
Absolutely.
Way, you know, and I'll send it right to you. And that's the whole idea with the show and my business here. Weightlifting and all that fostered this whole thing. Yeah, there was a series of events that happened. It made me make a decision and a choice. But I never would have gotten as far as I have even privately outside if it wasn't for all those bumps and holes and abysses I fell down in weightlifting, because it does something to you that no, I've played a lot of sports. No sport ever carried outside of the gym the way this place does. Comment on any of that, Martine.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's really important to note that failure is really just a guiding light of as to helping you find that the path that you need to be on. Because when you fail, it's not the end of the path. It
Nope.
just shows you that you need to redirect.
Yep.
And like you need to fail. It's very true. You need to, because that's the ultimate teacher.
Yeah. And you know, when you're standing up on that podium with that big trophy in your hand, you know that you made it. You went through all the trials and tribulations. There's going to be more coming down the road. The more you want to get into anything like this, you're going to keep meeting up with forces that are just going to knock you back, and you got to knock them forward 10 more steps. And I, to be honest with you, I love that approach about life now. I have a lot of problems even hanging out or being around people that they don't have to do what I do, but they've got to have something between their ears, and it can't be I give up. I can't be around that, and I can't listen to that anymore at all. It's not healthy for me either. I'm going in a different direction, a different pathway, and I understand it. You know, you hear everything, you know, well, you know, I got a family, I've got kids. I get it. I have a different life than you do, but it doesn't mean it's not any less important, because I've got big responsibilities here and out there and out to myself and my family. So what I decided to do, I decided to just go out and be a little bit more than I thought I could ever be. And knock on wood, we're doing pretty damn good. And it's just because I will not let up and I will persevere. I always say that the only thing that's going to kill me off all this stuff is going to be an act of God killing me, man. So if you go through, right, if you go through life with that type of mindset, you and I both know you have those days. I've had days where I want to just hang it up. But there's something within you that you've built that will not allow you to, because there's no way I could ever live my life turning my back on any of this now. I don't know how I'd live anymore. So why don't you summarize anything, Martine? Give out all your information. And if you'd like to, we'd love to have you back on the show and really dive into some big, some other big stuff. And if you'd hang on the line, I'll give mine, and we'll sign off for the day, please.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. I absolutely love hanging out with you this morning on Skype. Just a great way to start my week after a couple weeks of epic strongman competition. And just looking forward to this continued path of strength. If you want, you can follow me on Instagram. It's my first name, Martins. That's like Martin plural with an S at the end.
Yep.
And Licis, L-I-C-I-S. So Martins Licis. And other than that, if you want to check out the training hall, and if you're in the Southern California region, go to thetraininghall.info. You can find us there. Come train with us. Lift some stones.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, too? I want to, because when I'm going to put this show up in the next 2 days, but you come on next month, the two contests are, you know, they've been a ways away. Give out a little information about first in Texas, which was 2 weeks ago, and then in Phoenix this past weekend. I'd like you to get that out. Say whatever you want. We got some time.
Absolutely. At the Bill Kazmaier Classic last weekend, I ended up placing second with Dimitar Savatinov, that monster. He got first place. It was still a close competition, but the winner from there gets to go on to the Arnold Classic in Ohio. So yep. That spot went to Dimitar. However, I did get a beautiful invite to all the other Arnold Strongman competitions coming up this year.
Yep.
So I'll be in that circuit, which is one of the best circuits to be a part of. And I look forward to the travel that's going to come from that. And then eventually I'll be able to make my way to the Arnold Classic in Ohio, which is one of the ultimate and most the best regarded competitions in the sport.
Yeah.
And then this last weekend in Phoenix, I placed first. I got my revenge on Dimitar.
Yeah.
Again, it was a close competition. He was beating me the whole time. It just came down to the keg medley at the end, which, like I said before, medleys are one of my strong suits.
Yep. And you're pretty damn fast, too, so that doesn't hurt at all either, you know?
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, when you you talk about a great thing that something you love to do and you're excellent in, and you get that for the last event, man. Somebody was smiling down on you for sure, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the greatest thing. Is there anything else you want to add to it, Martin?
Shoot. No, that's it.
Okay. Well, just hang on the line, and I'll be right with you, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Also, to the 30-day ebook. Both of them are ebooks. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, this show will be up. Steve Jack is tomorrow. We'll put Martine up the day after. So you're going to have 4 days. We've never had this before, of super strong competitive individuals that and it rings my favorite sound, stones, among everything else. I mean, I don't know any shows out there with this type of talent. But not only that, it's just wait, you know, we put Bill Crawford up today all about the Scotland trip. You know, we had Martin Janzik up the day before all about Scottish stones. He was on that trip. But just like we do with Martin, we introduced him today, but we got in a little bits and pieces. If it wasn't the mental, what he liked to do, the base lifts, all that. This is how we do it. So what a week this has been, let me tell you already, and it's only Monday. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, check out everything there. Obviously, I said with the category, you go out there and look at all those podcasts. We've got probably close to 1,000, and we've only been up for 2 years, which is amazing. And it's just going to get bigger and better. Everybody knows, too, that we are streaming. You can find us out on multiple directories, but find us on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha. If you have a new car, AHA is a directory where you'll find Motivation Muscle. You can get it right into your car when you're driving. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Martine and I to do, Fiorello Barbell, NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with a few things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give people words of inspiration. That's very important, and that's what they need to hear. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to go out and lift anything today, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as our great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We dominate, obliterate, and destroy everything in our path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. We will say that, Russell, for the next 28 years. Frank Klein, who was my greatest marketing business professor in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for a number of years, who we lost to cancer a few years back. He'd walk every patient to the door. It didn't matter how busy he was, and he'd say these two words, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on the worst day of your life and not smile. John would be very pleased that I'm carrying that on for him. These three men had so much effect on my life, I'm telling you right now, and I miss them all tremendously. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 or more of your friends about us, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Martin, it's been an honor to have you on, man. I'm so glad we finally got it together, and we have you here, and we hope that you'll be part of our family and want to come on again, sir.
Sounds great, Eric. Thank you so much for having me on. I loved it.
Thank you. I mean, it went so smooth, I'm telling you. Remember this. I didn't say this in the beginning, but everybody should know this by now. We are the alpha male of radio. So, you know, as I always say, the great Les Brown will say, you're all winners. You all have greatness. And we always take it a little bit further. We have your back, and we stand by you 100%. So, for Martin Lisis, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have him on again next year. This guy is very inspiring, and I can see him standing one day on that podium, and it could be soon for all we know, world's strongest man, and we wish him the best. So we'll talk to everybody soon. Have a great week, and do something special out there. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.